Good evening. We're so glad you're here tonight on this intergenerational blessings evening. We're just so grateful. We even brought Pastor out of retirement of drums. He's going to be playing the drums tonight. And Gaither style. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. And I just want to make a couple of announcements. Next week is going to be our last Wednesday for the LL Connect next month for August. It will be at 6 o'clock p.m. Say that with me. 6 o'clock p.m., not 6:30. We're going to meet. Bring a lawn chair. We really need you to get signed up, if you will. That will help us a lot with food. It's going to be a great evening. We're just praying that the weather holds up. We can have it outside. We'll have a small service, and then we're going to have bounce houses, fire pits, food, fellowship, and just it hopefully bring some other families with you, but it will be for all ages. And we want to remind you that in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting our small groups on Wednesday night. Several things that you can take advantage of to become just more discipled and more connected in. So you get you a book going out, or you can go online and just see what's happening around here. And we want you to stand with us, if you will. After the service, we're going to have brownie bowls. We're going to kind of flip things tonight, and we're going to go down this aisle right here. Get your brownie bowl. You can meander around in here, or you can go back in the fellowship hall, some coffee and water, and just a wonderful time together. So we want you to plan to stay for that. But greet one another, if you will, this evening, and just be ready for a wonderful time of interactive worship tonight.
Good morning. I'm half out of it.
Good evening. I'm going to open service with Psalms 100. This says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfastness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for tonight, God, and what you've been doing in these Wednesday night services, God. We ask that you just continue to just blow us away with your presence, God, that you show us who you are, God, and that you reveal your presence, God, in this room, God, that you continue to reveal yourself true, and that who you are is who you said you are, and that you will continue to be the same from now, today, and forever, God. We thank you for what you're doing, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Jesus makes it right.
Has he set you free this evening? Yes, he has.
Once like a bird. Free.
works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
Joining us this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about wisdom. As I've turned 50 this year and began in turning gray,
is it on?
Now it's on. I didn't turn to. As I turned 50 and began turning gray a little bit,
why are y'all laughing?
One of my favorite wisdom scriptures is Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise before the gray and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. I believe in that scripture strongly. Scripture references wisdom over 200 times and the book of Proverbs could be actually renamed as the book of wisdom. And there are so many just amazing scriptures about wisdom. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is not just intellectual knowledge, but also involves practical applications in daily life. This evening, we're going to have some practical applications of wisdom for daily life from our six panelists up here. Please welcome them by great hand clap of praise. Thank you all for coming. First, let's get maybe some introductions so people that may not know you know who you are. So if we just start down this way and go toward the end and tell us your name and something fun about you.
Well, my name is John Andres. Many of you know me. I don't get here too often. I was to live here with my wife and be a member of your congregation all the time, but she passed away 4 years ago, and most of you gals would remember her, Marilyn Andres. She spoke here many times.
Yes.
So that's who I am, and that's what I'm famous for, being the husband of Marilyn Andres.
Next panelist.
My name's Mark Dominic, and a lot of you know me as Dr. Mark, and I've been going to this church a long time, enjoyed it all. I guess something fun, Brad. Well, first of all, I was going to say, you might have gray hair, but give yourself a few years, then you have no hair.
I shall not receive.
Yeah. You know, the Lord says he counts the number of hairs on your head. It's getting easier for him for me all the time. But something fun, I think, is just spend time with my wife and go on camping.
Amen. Amen to that.
I'm Teresa Dominic, Mark's wife, and I'm also having fun camping with him and knitting.
Nice. And I'm Kathy Skipper, and I'm married to John Skipper over here, and life is always fun with him.
Well, John, let's see what you got to say to follow up with that.
I'm speechless now. I'm John Skipper. I'm quiet and shy. I do want to make one announcement. Mark and Teresa have been married for 45 years today.
Amen. Give them a hand clap. I knew we picked great panelists.
I'm Mary Harvey, and I don't know why he had to bring up about the gray hair, but there's not a lot fun about me. It's
well, I'm
fun
sure you've got
serving
some
the
stories.
Lord.
Yeah. We're going to get into some questions. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into some practical life wisdom. And these guys are going to share some of their stories through these questions that I'm going to ask. So the first question I've got is, what is one of your favorite scriptures. And I'm just going to pass it through the panelists. If you just want to give us one of your favorite scriptures that just speaks to you and just that you would like to share with this group. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't have a favorite scripture. I've got many, and I want to learn and have many, many more before I pass. But the one that popped into my mind right away was Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. And that is, how blessed is... Should we do it?
Yeah,
want to
please.
Take time for,
please.
How blessed is the man who... Oh, here we go. This is what I was afraid of. Anyway, the first verse talks about... this is why I didn't want to do this. I go blank. First verse talks about how blessed a person is if he does not stand with the wicked. He does not go with scoffers. He does not stand with sinners. But he is blessed, and his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And the law of the Lord is what he meditates on day and night.
Yes.
He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which, this is why I didn't want to do this.
You're doing great.
I used to really be able to do this, but my mind is too fragmented now. Which it yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In whatever he does, he prospers.
You pulled it together pretty awesome. I have to give him a hand clap for that one. That was really good. And that's good wisdom right there. Anybody else have a favorite scripture, Mark?
I was going to say, John, you could do well at Men's Alliance because we have to memorize scriptures there. And, I was told that once you get in our age group, if you learn something new, something's got to leave your brain, so that could be part of what's going on, too. So one of my favorite scriptures, we actually keep it on our campers, Micah 6:8, and I wrote mine down because I don't always remember it, but he has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
I like 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is stored up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who long for his appearing.
Come on.
The verse I picked, and it was hard. There are so many, and it changes daily, but I picked 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so many times when I am weak, he is strong, and I depend on that. He is so faithful.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I had two. One was Psalms 139, verse 14, I believe. It says that I'm wonderfully and complex made, because when someone asked me why I act that way, I said that's how God made me. But the one I really, really like, it starts with in the beginning and ends with amen, come Lord Jesus. The whole Bible is alive, and that's one so wonderful, I think, that we have something living, something we can draw off of every day of our lives.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I selected one that we're all familiar with, and one that Pastor Ivan uses quite often, John 3:16-17. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
You know, one thing I think you can take away from these six panelists is it's important to have scripture to reference, right? I mean, it's important to get in your word, but it's also important to find some really good scripture nuggets to hold on to when you're going through a challenging season, a time. And just to keep in mind, it is just a season. So, you know, things in life is just a season, and as you're going through stuff, scripture will help you get through that season for sure. Another question I have is something dear in our heart, in our house, is what's your favorite worship song or hymn? Again, I'll just toss it out to anybody who may like to answer that question. Any particular worship song or hymn?
I, again, don't have a particular song. There are many that I love. There are many scripture songs from the 70s and 80s that I love. There are many songs today that I love, but I don't remember the names of them at all. Yeah. And the ones from today, if there are names to them, I don't know. But we sing some beautiful ones here once in a while. But what came to my mind, again, what popped into my mind was the old Rugged Cross.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic.
But I'm not going to sing it.
Pastor Brad, I like In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. It's multiple artists. I think Chris Tomlin does it, and I just think that always touches me.
Yes.
I've really been enjoying the Hymn of Heaven.
I almost picked that one. I picked Amazing Grace, but I like the modern version where it adds where it says, My chains are gone, I've been set free.
Yeah. Yes.
I wrote down Hard Fought Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mary?
I like all of our praise and worship songs, but I especially like I Speak Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's a powerful song.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of agree with Kathy. Amazing Grace was one dear to my heart. My grandma used to sing it. And every time I hear that song, I can hear her sing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to have worship songs, just like scriptures, because they can lift you up. I mean, the Bible tells us to praise through our problems, right? To worship God. And we try to teach that back in the kids area, too. It's like when you're going through something, if scripture's not coming to you, get into worship, get into praise, and get through that. Day, that season, or that even just that moment, and then rush back to scripture to edify the song you just heard. So great wisdom there. If you had to give your testimony in one or two sentences, what would it be? I want to have maybe one or two volunteers who would be willing to give your testimony in one or two sentences, and what would that be? So if you feel brave to give that, please speak up, or I get to call on you like I do at school. Go ahead, John.
I'm an Andrew, so first I guess. Anyway, I would say to someone, my testimony is that God is love, and that's shown very clearly in the Trinity. When you see the relationships of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that God loves me. And he delivered me from hell. I would be in hell today because of my disobedience, except for the price that was paid by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross just for me, but also for all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That is a great testimony. Someone else? Won't be brave.
I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a pretty young age, around 11. And he's been Lord of my life down through all these years. I'm sure I've failed him many times, but he's never failed me yet. He's still my King.
Amen. Amen. I like how she said that last part. He is still my King. Maybe a couple other ones. I'm going to give a question out to. Can you tell us about someone who inspired your faith walk? Somebody who encouraged you to follow Christ and within your walk?
I'll share. One of the first one that came to my mind was my first youth pastor. which was Tony Capps, and you all have known him. He was a big influence on my life, and then that was a personal one that I knew, but I'm also an avid reader, and there's a lot of people like C.S. Lewis, Keith Green, who was a singer, Chuck Colson, Corrie Ten Boom. All of those have inspired and encouraged me, but to personally know them, Tony Capps was the first one.
Amen, amen. Someone else?
Okay.
Amen, that's right, say it again.
Well, Brad, I'm going to give kudos to my wife because I was raised in the Catholic Church, which is, you know, more about, I'll have to say, ritual, and she invited me to Lachlan Church of God, and I was pursuing her, so I said, I'll go, and you do things when you're courting, right? But I never regretted it, and heard Brother Fletcher, and all of a sudden I said, why is this guy yelling at us? But you know what? He was bringing the word, and that's what really just touched my heart and just kept coming back, and also our pastors right now.
Amen. 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 A lot of amazing influencers. Yeah, and someone else. Anybody else want
to? I'd have to say brother and sister Fletcher and sister Ackerman, Helen Ackerman, was really there for me.
Amen. I remember a pastor, I was going through a rough time in my life, and a pastor Jackie Poe, just really gave up his time and poured into me, and I so appreciate that. And I think that's one thing to take away is you need somebody to inspire you, and you need to be someone that inspires. And I think it's very critical because during our faith walk, sometimes our walk is a little shaky. Sometimes our walk is like a crooked road, and we need somebody to help guide us through that time of our life, and you should seek somebody out, and either seeking somebody to guide and direct you, but also be the person to guide and direct somebody else. This generation, and I'm not talking about any specific generation, but the people that are living today need some guidance and direction, and just encouragement. Just you've got this kind of thing. What miracle have you experienced or seen God in your lifetime? I'll throw that out to anybody who wants to answer.
I'll say something on this one. Mark and I filled out our papers separately, but put down the same answer here. Our son, Ryan, was very, very ill, and many people didn't realize how ill he was. He didn't respond to conventional treatment for years and years of his growing up. And he had a dream to go away to college to become a pilot. And Mark and I didn't see how that could ever happen, but we let him go. And he progressed. He got 2 degrees. He got his certifications, and he's now a captain with a major airline.
Amen.
And he's healthy.
Is God good or what?
There's no other explanation but God.
That is awesome.
Brad, I'm going to jump in here. We actually got to fly on a trip where he was the pilot, which was pretty cool. And but I told Teresa, now, don't you go up front and tell him to slow down. He's going too fast. You don't do that at 30,000 feet.
He's like, Mom, get back in your seat. Anybody else like to share?
I was working with hospice many years ago, and we had a monthly meeting or weekly meeting, I forget how it was, but they would go around and talk about each patient, and there was this one that came up, and they was talking about his health and different things, and they said, he's an atheist, John, and he does not want the chaplain to go down. And I said, no problem. And 3 different other people said about the same thing. Then finally one person got up and said, John, his wife would like to talk to you if you could, and would like you to come down and see her. And I said, okay. So I called her up, and we went down, and we sat at the table and talked, and I answered what best questions I could for her and everything. And then she said, do you
want to talk to my husband. And I said, well, I understand that he does not want the chaplain to be down here. And she says, well, just a minute, I'll go into the room and ask him. And she came back out and said, yes, he would like to talk to you. So I went in, and his room was full of model trains on the wall. And I got to talk to him about that and everything. And I talked to him for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And I said, well, buddy, I'm going to have to get out of here. Can I pray with you? And he said, yes. I'm like, wow. So I prayed, and halfway through the prayer, I stopped and I says, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Come on.
And he said, yeah. So we said the sinner's prayer, and I told him, I said, if that came from your heart, then you're ready. 2 hours later, got a call. He passed away.
Wow.
I thought, better than any healing whatsoever.
That's right. Give God glory. That is an amazing, not only testimony, but a miracle. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. Anybody else like to share? I'll move on to the next question. This one may be a tough, so think through it for just a second. And before we get into this question, does God still do miracles?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it, right? So if you're in a need for a miracle, don't stop believing. He ain't done yet.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. God still is in the miracle business. Would you be willing to share a time of deep grief, sorrow, or a difficult trial that you experienced in your past, and maybe what scripture or song or person that God used to bring you through it? I'll open up to anybody who's willing to share. This is where this is where it means.
Well, I can share a trial. I would like to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
Being married and having kids, there are a lot of trials. And the hardest trials in our marriage came down to I had three children. Two of them became diabetic, type 1 diabetic, when one was, Joy was 11 and Mark was 7. And so they had to have insulin two or three times a day, shots. And the people around us in the fellowship that we were in loved us so much and helped us so much with all. It was a shock, and it's a tough thing to give your kid shots every day, three times, and all of the things that go along with diabetes and kids, and even older people. But just a couple examples. There was one gal who was a nurse, and she taught us how to give insulin shots by first having an orange, and we could practice with the orange and the shots. And then she allowed my wife to practice giving her shots in her arm, giving the shots in the gal's arm. So she took about 10 shots before my wife really got a good at it. So that was very special. One more time of the example of the people that loved us and prayed for us through all this and helped us. Every year we had a Halloween party at the church, which was you come as a biblical character or an animal from the Noah's Ark or something like that. And we had big games and everything and food. And then we finished off with a circle where the parents got in a circle and had candy and everything. And the kids would go inside the circle and walk around, have bags and get some candies and that. And my wife was really, she realized all of a sudden, well, Mark, he just became diabetic. He's 7 years old, and these people are going to give him all this candy and everything. I don't want him to go in there. And we decided, no, he's got to go through it. And not through it, but to do it. The people in that church had thought ahead enough that when he went around in the circle with everybody, he got money and fruit and pencils and comic books and toys and stuff like that. And it was just such a blessing. And I'm done with that one.
Amen. Somebody else?
I'll share just a short thing. You probably think that I would talk about the loss of our daughter this year, but I'm not quite ready to talk about that. But something that did come to my mind many years ago when my children were young, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and John was working at a local manufacturing plant, and he had been there 22 years, and I'll never forget, he called me one day, and he said, they're closing the plant. And he was our only source of income. I had two little daughters at home, and so it was pretty devastating at first, but looking back, God took care of us. He provided other jobs. The scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. We were never late on a bill. We never lacked for anything. God provided.
Amen. Amen.
And plus, after I retired, she says, you have to get up and do something. She handed me the computer, and 2 days later, I had a job.
We wouldn't want you to sit around, John. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us all out of them. Mm-hmm. And, that's just a powerful scripture. And again, as we're learning gleaning some of this wisdom, it's important when you're going through stuff to surround yourself with like believers. It's important to go to scripture and go to song, but it's also important to be at church and surround yourself with people who can lift you up and just pour into you and encourage you, because when you're going through those time of grief and sorrow, it's not the time to seclude yourself. That's the wrong time to ever do that. The time is to be around some folks to help bring you through that time, that season. What tidbit of wisdom would you give to those coming up after you? You guys have experienced a lot of life. What kind of a wisdom would you pass on to the next generation? I'd like to hear maybe from everybody on this one real quick. If you have something you could...
I would say, do not quench the spirit. By that I mean, you're as a small voice that talks to you once in a while, and it tells you not to do this, or it tells you to do that. That voice is the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian. And you have to listen and obey that. If you don't, you're gonna miss out on what God's plan is for your life. You're not gonna have the beautiful life that God planned for you. He's gonna have to keep changing and working on you harder and harder. So do not quench the spirit. Listen to that still small voice inside you.
Amen. Doc?
Brad, I wrote down, I said, you should live a life and act as if Jesus was standing right next to you, because he is.
That's right, that's right. Never forget that. Like, it's, it's easy to say, oh, well, no one's watching. Well, actually, yeah, there are. Jesus specifically.
As I look back at the struggles I had as a young person, I think if I were to have figured out who I was in God a little sooner and just even written some things down, and I think if we would figure out what are our unshakable unbreakables and our no trespassing zones, in other words, what things will you not do, what things, where do I draw the line, I think that is would be very, very helpful. And then you don't have to, when you're in a situation, you don't have to stop and think, should I do that or not? You already decided. Okay.
That's awesome. Good wisdom.
I just put that to keep spending time with the Lord, keep praying, reading his word, letting him speak to you. As John said, the still small voice, will minister to you. He'll comfort you. He'll listen when nobody else is around to listen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, so stay close to him.
I was raised in church, and I thought it was a bunch of do's and don'ts, and there was no fun in it. But after I got saved, I found there was a lot of fun serving Jesus. I just keep following after him.
I would recommend that you give your heart to Jesus when you're young.
Amen.
And always keep Christ the center of your life. Read your Bible and pray every day. And stay in a good Bible teaching church. Mm-hmm. And always let Jesus have your way, his way in your life.
Amen. 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 I think a common theme, you know, is you know, do it young, right? You know, really grasp. I like how Teresa, how you put it, like define the do's and the don'ts and the what you would accept or not accept, and back that by scripture early, and that would save you a lot of headaches and heartaches. And I know from my own personal experience, I didn't do that, and I certainly wish I would have. That would have saved a lot of heartaches. But God used it all and got me where I'm at today. We'll wrap up with this last question. What is one thing you feel this generation must know or do for the times we're living in today? They must know or do for the times they're living in today. John, what about you?
Well, I really believe with my heart that we are in the very end times, at the end of the age, as it says, and Jesus is coming back soon. I really, truly believe
Amen.
That.
Amen.
I could be wrong. They've been wrong for the last 2,000 years. But I believe that, and it looks like it to me. So we're now to be, the chances we might even be persecuted someday in many ways, financially or however. But the scripture that comes to mind for me is Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Who do I dread?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Pastor Brad, I wrote down what this generation must know. I wrote, there is an absolute truth, and it's found in God's word in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I wrote, stand for God, no matter the cost. It matters eternally.
Mm. Yes.
Amen.
I put, stay in church. So many people don't see the importance of church anymore, but we need each other. Your church family and your pastors will be a blessing and a help to you, an encouragement. They'll pray for you. They've been such a blessing to us since the loss of our daughter this year. Sending us scriptures, words of encouragement, a prayer, a text message, and they'll be your biggest support. So stay in church and be involved.
I'm with John up there. The second coming of Christ. Always, usually young people, I would go up to them and I said, well, tell me a story. Well, here's my story. We're going to go back some 60-some years. We was at my dad's cousin's house, and it was getting late at night. And when it got dark, when I was young, I got homesick. I wanted to go home. And back then, all the guys wore the same gray shirt and the same gray pants. And I'm standing on the porch of this man's house, and I was grabbing a hold of his pants leg, and I says, I want to get home, Dad. Want to go home? And after a bit, there was a voice down the yard saying, son, if you come down with me, I'll take you home. I had a hold of the wrong pair of pants. And that's what I want to leave you with. Get homesick for heaven and follow Jesus. Grab a hold of his robe and hang on. Never, never let go. Keep close to Jesus.
Come on, amen. Mary, could you hold your mic up?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, yeah, talking to this Mary, you know. Since you don't have Joe, maybe I'll help you here.
Always stay prayed up and true to God and guard our hearts that we're not led astray or distracted from serving God. And
amen.
Always be ready and looking for his return.
I'm going to piggyback off what Kathy said. As a children's pastor and a dad, you know, not only you get to church, bring your kids, bring your grandkids. It's so critical that they come to church. And I know sometimes it might feel like an inconvenience, but here's the thing. What's going to be more inconvenient when they're doing the wrong thing in the wrong path and all the time wasted correcting that? Or the time you've come to church for an hour and a half, 2 hours, once a week on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, bringing those kids, we can help you save a lot of trouble. And we want to bless your kids and do that. So I would piggyback off of what you said is, you know, not only for you to get to church, but bring your kids and be very faithful in doing so. It's important. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. That scripture is pretty powerful because, you know, a lot of times money, you know, we're involved in money. We need money for many different things. And the Bible's telling us, you know, money's important. Money's good. Money's okay. But what's more important than gaining wisdom? And you gain that wisdom through the Word of God. You gain that wisdom from coming to church. You gain that wisdom from surrounding yourself with fellow believers, because it's that wisdom, that practical use of knowledge in your life. Otherwise, it's just book smart. But when you start to apply that to your life and to your kids' life and to your family and your community's life, that's when wisdom kicks in. And certainly... Solomon could not have been as wise as he was based on just his age and intelligence, because he was way too young. But God poured into that wisdom, the scriptures poured into that wisdom that made him considered the wisest person in his time. And so it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. Wisdom can be there for you and applying what you know. And that's what the scripture says. So that's all I have for these questions. Can y'all give it up for this panel? Thank you for the wisdom. I hope you guys took something away from this, because this was a lot of good practical information of what you can do in your daily life, in your daily walk. And so thank y'all. Thank y'all for coming tonight. And I think we have some more music, right?
Singing. I apologize. We're going to do some fun choruses that we've done over the years. So if you want to stand, you can. If you don't want to, it's okay too.
Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is
tonight? Do you believe that you're alive in Jesus tonight? When you gave your heart to him, did the old die, the old you die? And he's alive in you, right? Do you remember the day that you gave your heart to the Lord and the old things, like Corinthians says, the old things became new? And you looked in the mirror and you're like, I don't even look the same. Ever had that? So I do, because I was an ugly person. I mean, just being real. Anybody have some ugly flesh? Yeah, especially on Mondays, right? But we're so thankful that in him we are new. We are the same person. You know, I'm still Kara, but in him I am new.
I was lost in shame, could not get past my blame, till he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me, darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out, and I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he changed me, see I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine. Sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I see the light. I'm so glad he changed me. Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. It's all over me. I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. There's new life. I live by faith.
Good. That was good. She should do that again.
Okay, we're going to stand and we're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven. What a day that's going to be. I'm telling you, I cannot wait.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven.
now we're going to close in prayer. You know, Doug Small and our pastors often say that some of the best prayers are the ones that are actually just from Scripture. So tonight I'm going to close with some Scripture prayers. They'll be from 1 Kings, Nehemiah, Habakkuk, Luke, Ephesians, and Numbers. And that sounds like a lot, but it's not. Let us pray. Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer we are praying before you day and night for your people. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this people and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servants success today by granting us favor. The sovereign Lord is our strength. He makes our feet like the feet of deer. He enables us to tread on the heights. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spiritual wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the righteousness of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incompatible great power for us who believe. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.